Today, everyone, we're going to be looking at what the Epiphany means for us today. You've heard me already mention that it is a manifestation of Jesus Christ, but it is actually, for us as Christians, understood to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And so that is one of the great themes of Epiphany. It's kind of an interesting word, but it really is the at heart, it's really God reaching out to mankind to give us a message. And I've heard people say that I had an epiphany last night. And what they meant was that God spoke to them in a dream or in a vision, or God spoke to them and heard, they heard his voice speaking to them during the day. There's different ways that God appears to us, but for epiphany, it's referred to actually in association with the scripture that we have today, that is introducing this wonderful story of the wise men who were following the star to find the baby Jesus. So let's turn to this text today and look at it together from verse 1 and 2, and we'll begin to look at what God wants to bring to us in Epiphany. We read, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" This is very interesting for us. We just recently watched a film, and in the film, they, in order to capture everything together, they had the shepherds coming and the wise men together at the same time to the place where Jesus was born in the swaddling clothes in the manger. Actually, there is a later date for the wise men to come, and this is what we see here. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, and we believe that this was sometime after Jesus was born in the manger. Anyway, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and it mentions that Herod was the king there. We'll learn a little bit more about him in the next verses after this. And then we are also introduced to wise men that came from the east. Now, these verses do not say how long it took for them to arrive, but it's understood that they had traveled a long, long distance to arrive here. You probably know that already, but just in case you don't, it was a long way for them to arrive in Jerusalem. And when they came here, it's very interesting. They say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, when I read this, it came to me, you know, they were actually expecting the people there to know, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Where is all of the celebration going on? Where is all of the adoration going on for this king who's been born of the Jews?" You know, there's almost this sense that they wanted to know where the party was going on, you know, for this newborn king of the Jews. "We saw his star when it rose and we've come to worship him." And maybe they were also thinking, "Come to worship him with you," right? And so it's very interesting. They come with this kind of a question. And Herod, in the next verses, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so when they're, we understand that they're not worshiping the king. They're not going to this place where the wise men were being led and saying, "Yeah, this is where he is." It's almost like they're scrambling around and trying to get their act together and think about what's going on here. Well, Herod calls all of these people together, but it says he was troubled. And so this tells us something about him. The wise men were rejoicing and ready to worship. The king heard it and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, we know that Herod was a very, very sick man. He was at the end of his reign, actually towards the end of his life. And in his latter days, he was most probably insane. He had lost his grip on life. He was known as a murderer. In fact, sadly, he killed his favorite wife. I'd hate to be one of his not so favorite wives. No, but he was known to have killed his favorite wife. He killed at least three of his sons. This was a dangerous dude. You know, this man was not someone who people lived in joy around. You know, this was someone who was very threatening. And so when the king heard this, he was troubled. And therefore, if the king is troubled, all of Jerusalem is going to be troubled with him, you see. So this was a very dangerous time to live there under this king. And so he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. These people, the chief priests and the scribes, were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were people that knew the scriptures, and he's drawing them in to let him know exactly where this new king was going to be born. He did not want to be threatened by any king at all. So there was this other underlying danger in his reaction to this news that Jesus was going to be born. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 5. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Now, this is the prophecy that they were referring to in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The second part, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel, we believe is added by Matthew to help to underlie and to support the prophecy also that this coming Messiah would be a shepherd of the people Israel. And that verse is actually from 2 Samuel 5:2. Right? And so they tell Herod, it says, O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah. And so it would be in Bethlehem. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And this was the answer that they gave to Herod. Now, this point here is very important for us to dwell on for a moment, because it introduces really one of the main thrusts in this message for us today of the Epiphany. The scribes and the leaders, the priests, they knew the scriptures well. Did they go to Bethlehem to find the Christ? No. It was the wise men who came and said, we have come to find this person. And they were lacking in the knowledge of the scriptures in that regard. They were following the star. They're depending upon these other people to tell them where he was going to be. But these people were not interested. They were not there. They knew what the scripture said, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And they gave this answer to the king. But it introduces us to the apathy, or to the lack of faith, or to the pride of these people who knew the scriptures, and yet they did not go in faith to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. And so this sets up the contrast and also the very meaning of Epiphany, that it was the Gentiles, the wise men from far away in the East, who did not have the access perhaps as much to the scriptures as those scribes and the Pharisees. And the people there in Jerusalem itself, there where Jesus was born, they had no faith. And the faith came in the Gentile wise men who had come from long distances and expending long energy into coming to search that babe out and to worship him. So Matthew highlights this paradox. Those who have the scriptures and can see plainly what the prophets have said are not willing to worship the newborn king. I've been reading in Experiencing God. I think you may know this little devotional. It's a very powerful devotional, and I want to encourage you to get a copy of it, or you know, ask me and I'll give you one. It's by Blackaby. I don't know how to hold it. I'm sorry. So anyway, it's I'll write it later to you. I want to just share a word from it that I feel that is an epiphany of a sort today, a definite epiphany from God, because it speaks of this message in today's lesson. When God speaks, it is so. It says in Isaiah 55:11, "My word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do." Amen. He says this at the end of the devotional. What happens when Jesus speaks to you? What happens when you read the Bible? Have you been reading the words of Jesus in your Bible without experiencing his word that transforms everything around you? Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they assumed that knowledge of the written scriptures would give them life. They were satisfied with having the words instead of experiencing the person who spoke the words. How powerful a word from God is to your life. As you read your Bible and pray, listen to what God has to say to you about his will for your life. I believe that the Pharisees, you know, and the message here very clearly is that the Pharisees, the scribes, had access to the word of God, and they read it, but they were more interested in the word of God than they were in the person that was represented in that word. And so we see the message here for us today that we need to listen to what we read in the Bible and understand that it is the person of Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is important. And we need to understand that as we read the Bible and not just be immersed in the Bible for the Bible's sake. And God will lead us into these times of epiphany and we'll be able to see him. What is our reaction going to be? The Gentiles, the wise men, came what with one intention, to find Jesus and to worship him. Verse 7 says, "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared." Now, the reason he did this is because he had already schemed to kill the small boys of Bethlehem. He had and we read that in verse 16, a little bit later in the scriptures. In verse 8, it says, "He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" He did not have any intention of worshiping the king. He was deceitful. He was a liar. And he was manipulating the wise men and telling them to go ahead to the place of Bethlehem in order to locate this coming king so that he could destroy him. I remember there was some music written that I sang at one time. I forget who the composer was, but I was trying to capture the music was based on this scripture, and Herod was speaking and saying the words, "Please tell me where the Christ child is, where this Messiah is, where this king is, so that I may go and worship him too." And I remember someone teaching me how to sing that. And they said, you have to capture it almost in a very smiling and a very happy way, because that was what he was trying to do. He tried to trick them in that way. And I saw when I was singing it, I was trying to sing the things that I was thinking about Herod and what was in his heart, and I sang it in the wrong way, because I sang it in this kind of deceitful way. But actually, the devil is a very, very tricky being, and he uses smiles to trick us into believing untruth. And so I believe that that music, and I learned the meaning of this scripture when that person taught me how to sing that verse in the music I was learning. He came with a deceitful heart, and this word worship for him was a completely different meaning than it was for the wise men. He planned to kill the boys, and he did kill the boys 2 years and younger that lived in that region when he found out that he had been tricked and the wise men went away and did not tell him where Jesus was at that time. Let's continue on. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts and gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so you see, they listened to the king and they went to that place and they went on their way. And the star led them to this place, this house where Mary was. And they fell down there when they saw the child with Mary. They went into the house where she was staying and they fell down and worshiped him. And they presented these gifts. But before that, they rejoiced with great joy because they saw the star and it was taking them to that place in front of them. And so that star really has a tremendous epiphany kind of a message for us as well, right? It is God leading us to this Christ child, this Messiah, to the savior of our sins. And that is what God does. He uses nature for the wise men, for these Gentiles. He uses creation. Some people said that he used astrology to as a means for men to find Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. God uses the means of all of his creation, but it is God behind all of those things that truly leads us to Christ. And he will do that in your life. If you let him, if you open your eyes and open your ears to what God is telling you, what God is showing you, you will see that he is leading you to himself, leading you to a life that is filled with joy, that is filled with worship for him. And so this word again is mentioned, worship. They had come for that purpose, and it was fulfilled through the leading of God's star. Not so much Herod and what he was after. It was actually God whose star led them to the exact place where Jesus was in his mother's loving arms. Psalm 72 and Isaiah 60, which we heard in the call to worship today, are beautiful examples of prophetic words that lead us to this scripture about kings bowing down before the king. King Jesus has these kings come and they arrive and they bow down before him because he is the true king, right? He is the true king, and they present him with gifts that are expensive gifts that really show their gratitude for a sovereign, for someone who is greater than themselves. These gifts were also used for Joseph and Mary to escape to Egypt when the time came. The money that came from that was also a provision of God for them so that they could make the long journey to escape from Herod and bring Jesus into safety there. These things are really wonderful things for the Savior. And now, what do we have to give to Christ? What do we want to give to Christ? What gifts do we give in our worship to him? Right? We may not have frankincense and myrrh or gold, but we have a God who doesn't desire those things really. He desires ourselves. He desires our faith. He desires you and me to come and to worship him, to bow down before him, to recognize him as the king in our lives. And that is what God has given to us, this opportunity through the scripture to see how he leads those who are searching for him, who recognize that the star is leading to him. Is that way for him to bring Christ into our lives. And you have had that in your lives. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment, how God has guided you in your life to himself. Sometimes he uses people, right? He often uses people to be that light that shines in the darkness, to come and to bring you into his light. If you think for a moment on someone that you knew who introduced you, who instructed you in the Bible and led you to Christ, you could be thankful for them as well. The last verse says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. What a fitting way for this scripture to end. Another epiphany, another manifestation of God in a dream to these men who had come and who went to Bethlehem and had heard the words from this deceitful king that they would go and tell him where the Christ was. But God, in all of his majesty, came to them and led them away from there and told them to go their own way without returning to Herod. And we know that Herod was furious And sadly, he took all of his anger out on the babies, the children 2 years and younger in that region, trying to destroy the life of Jesus Christ. But he did not, because God in his greatness led Joseph to take his child and wife away into Egypt, where they were safe until Herod died. And then they returned and lived there, where it was prophesied that Jesus would grow into a man and be our Savior, dying on a cross, giving his life for all of mankind, and being raised from the dead and giving life to all who believe in his name. Well, there are some things that we want to take away from today, and I've written down a few. I'm sure that you can also read this scripture, and God will teach you and show you things that he wants you to know about this. But I've written down a few. I got kind of carried away, so I have more than a few. But please listen to what I have that I believe that God is showing to us. First of all, the scripture is a chance to review our faith in Christ and to consider who he is to us. Who is Jesus to you? Right? Is he just someone you read about in the scripture? Or is he someone who is a real living being in your life, loves you and gave his life for you? To what extent are we willing to go to worship him? To what extent are we willing to go and worship him? What gets in our way of worship? Are we limited by the time that it takes to get ourselves going in the morning? Or is it hard for us to think of traveling, just like the wise men did not see any kind of problem with going a long distance to find the king? So the distance that they were willing to go teaches us also the importance of Christ and what he means to them and to us as well. And this, another thought just in connection with that, at what cost are we willing to worship him as the king of our lives? Do we have Herods around us? Yes, we do. We have people that are perhaps not kings, but we have other people that know us, and we feel that it would perhaps be a threat to our relationship to them if we were to say, I worship Christ now and I need to give up my old ways. If we have all the knowledge and biblical resources at hand to know Christ, are we more like the wise men or the scribes and the Pharisees? We have all of the devotionals. We have the Word of God. We have church. We have prayer. We have brothers and sisters. We have an enormous amount of resources that the wise men did not have. They had the scriptures through the Jews. But now we have the scriptures as Gentiles, as people who followed through their example. We have every resource available, right? Are we more like the wise men or like the scribes and the Pharisees? God wants us to test our hearts. This valuable lesson teaches us to value Christ as our Savior. It helps us to see the providence of God, that his will cannot be stopped, just like in the devotional I read today, that the word of God cannot fail. And we see in this story that even though there was a threat to it through a great king, who was killing people and had the power to do so, could not stop the salvation of Jesus Christ coming into the world and protecting it through his Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit. The star helps us to see how God communicates where we can find Christ, the light of the world, right? That God's light brightly shines. The dream of the wise men speaks to us of how God communicates with us to help us to avoid danger. It helps, this story helps us to see how that Jesus is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Jews. We can give our gifts to Christ as well. What would our gifts be to give to Christ? What would we want to give to Christ? You can say that to God today. God, what would you like me to give you? What can I give to you, Father? And he will speak to you about what that is. The story teaches us the importance of worship. Amen. It helps us to evaluate our worship attitude. Are we so driven as they were to travel miles and miles to worship the king? We have such a resource in the songs and the people in our church who are singing each week. Do we take them for granted? The people who are representing all of us and coming together to lead the worship. to pray. All over the years of Grace Church, there have been servants serving this church to keep it going that way, right? To continue on, to persevere. Do we not want to take their example and learn from them and to join in this worship and to see that God has given us a great gift in himself? Our worship comes as a result of our appreciation and our love for God. Right? Just like the wise men did. They were these people, wise men. They were so learned. They had this amazing ability to look at what was going on in the world. And what did they find? Jesus Christ, the answer to the prophecy that had come through the Old Testament, that had come to them through a star, and their study of the stars led them to Christ. And so we see that those kind of things, that kind of study, can lead us to those things. I know scientists who are Christians, and they have professed that God has used the science that they studied to find Christ. It's not limited to scientists. I know musicians who have been, my wife is one of them, who was brought into a church and given a song to sing, and she found Christ through the worship, joining in with other people who introduced her through music. What do you do for a living? And how can Christ be introduced to other people through what you do, through the colleagues that you have, through others? It doesn't, God is unlimited in his ability to use whatever it is that he has given to you. And you have been given a purpose in life. Remember that and rejoice in it and ask God to bless it. And he will do that. Just a couple more thoughts. The Old Testament verses which point to Christ not only show the fulfillment of the Old Testament, like Psalm 72 and Isaiah 60 and many others. They don't just show the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Testament. And it's not limited to those verses that show us that same fulfillment in the New Testament. But the scriptures themselves are rich in lessons for us when we seek them and learn from them. What I mean by that is this. There is one verse in Psalm 72 that talks about the kings coming and bowing down before the king. And that refers directly to this story of the Magi bowing down before Jesus the king. But when you read the entire psalm, God has led us through the Christ, through this epiphany, through this story, to the scriptures that he wants us to know, that enrichen our lives in an even deeper way. So we find, yes, the fulfillment in that verse, the connection between the two, but we find a wealth of learning and a wisdom in the psalm, the entire psalm, that is filled with surprises and mysteries that God wishes to open up to us when we read them. So you see, God takes one verse and he leads us into many verses that teach us and expand our hearts with the word of God so that we are rich, that we are wealthy in him. And we see that one small thing can lead to an abundance of God's love. Try it. Read the entire Psalm of 72, Psalm 72, read the entire chapter of Isaiah, not just the first six verses that talk about giving gifts or about the mention of frankincense, which is an amazing thing in itself. But then when you read that, if you're like me, you won't be able to just read one chapter. You begin to read the entire book. And we see what is waiting for us, the treasure that is waiting for us in the word of God. That's the way God leads us. Jesus is not only the promised Davidic king, but also the promised hope, a blessing to all the nations. Not just the Jews, but to every nation. And that is one of the big meanings of Epiphany today. The one who can claim their obedience. And the last thought I have is that the Gentiles were saved by the Lord. Do we understand the meaning of this? Do we then look, since God has saved us, to share the good news with others that we have had the honor of receiving through other people, through God's word, through the Epiphany, through the stars, through dreams, through visions, through the prayers of other people for us, all these things, are we convinced today when we see the wise men coming this distance, bowing down before God, seeing that the door was open for all Gentiles, Are we then understanding that we belong to these who know Christ and that he has made us the light? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says that. And you are stars that shine. You are stars that shine. Paul mentions that in one of his letters. We are to lead others to the Christ, to him. Lead them to him, not convince them. That is God's work. But we are his people, and we need only to bring the word of God and point them in the direction of Christ, and they will find him. Amen.